Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everyone.
Hello everyone's.
My name is David Bell.
And my name is Tom Ryman.
We just watched Dread.
800 million people living in the ruin of the old world. Only one thing fighting for order in the chaos. The men and women of the Hall of Justice.
Peace Trees is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peace Trees?
Well, you got one now.
And, no, we watched Judge Dredd a second time.
Yeah, we watched Judge Dredd again.
Yeah. As people might know, we were forced to flip a coin to watch either Dredd or Judge Dredd for a previous we just watched as part of our it's a Patreon tier where folks can ask us to watch whatever movie they want, and we have to watch it.
Yes, we have no choice.
We have a new subscriber named Lef, L-E-F.
Mm-hmm.
Lef? Lef.
Lef.
Lef. Lef. Who asked us to watch Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fight you that hard on it.
No, and thank you, Lef. Thank you for being a wonderful subscriber and making us watch a great movie.
Yes.
That we have, I assume both of us have probably seen a lot.
I have seen, yeah, I've seen this movie several times. I saw it several times while it was in the theater.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, how did you like Dredd?
I love Dredd.
Yeah.
I think it's a great movie.
I love Dredd.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Episode over.
We love Dredd. It's great. And I guess we can talk about why it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because rewatching it, I did notice that it's kind of silly.
Yeah, it's a little silly.
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't tell us much.
No.
About the world, which is good. because of that, There's certain moments that when it does tell you stuff, I kind of realized like, oh, that doesn't make much sense. Mm-hmm. I was thinking specifically about, they go to, what's the building? Peach Trees?
Yes.
They show up to investigate these murders. And what happens is these people are, I guess we could go through the plot for people who haven't watched it.
But I mean, we go a little quick. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Dredd is assessing a rookie.
Basically, he's taking a rookie with him on just a day of patrolling, and they end up getting called to one of the, what are they called, the Mega Blocks,
something like that. They all have funny names like that, like toys.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say I'm going to take you to a jail cell. He says I'm going to take you to an ISO cube, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right, future, calm down, future,
all right, future, settle down,
yeah,
calm down, the future,
ISO cube.
Yeah, it's in the post-apocalyptic Earth, the cursed Earth, and all the neighborhoods are basically these super tall towers, which isn't really that far from how life is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I think parts of the UK.
But yeah, it's less tall in Los Angeles.
Not as tall, but we'll get there.
Yeah, you keep building. Just gotta keep going up.
They go to Peach Trees and get locked inside, basically.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the style of The Raid, where it's them fighting their way through this building. They have a witness to these murders, and they're going to use the witness to put away Mama,
mm-hmm.
who is a drug lord played by Cersei.
Yep,
she's great.
Yeah, no, everybody in this movie is awesome.
We should mention
Carl Urban plays Dredd, and he's amazing.
He is amazing. They're all amazing. Yeah. And the lady from Juno is the rookie.
Olivia Thirlby.
That's it. But there was little things I noticed. Like, right away, they say, like, they come for the murders, and the people there are like, we don't normally get judges at these buildings. And I was kind of, and then they, it's weird, because they go there because of two murders, right? And they just get assigned it. And then they're like,
he just answers a call.
Right. And then they're like, oh, we don't get judges here that much. And that's why this lady was able to murder her way into owning this building, essentially.
Basically,
and,
yeah.
And that's a weird inconsistency. Because if she did do that, you'd think they would have been more problems. Like
you think they would have been called more? Or?
Yeah, because they get called for two murders. That's how the movie starts. And then they're like, anyway, it's the lady's in charge and she's been murdering everyone. And then there's later a reveal that there's a control room that they have to like bust in and shoot everybody in to take control. The bad guys do.
Yeah.
And so like I started wondering, like, what is this building? Because the control room, I think it looks like it's filled with cameras. The bad guys aren't in charge of it. And yet they were able to like kill their way through this small building and no one's noticed or like said anything. They point out that, I mean, you see later judges are corrupt.
Yeah.
But like $1 million corrupt. Like they need a lot of money to look the other way of what is a simple drug bust.
I think they just kind of try to fly under the radar, I guess.
I guess, but it doesn't seem like she's doing that. It's one of these things, I'm pointing this out because the main point is, ultimately, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
No, not really.
This movie doesn't have to make sense.
Well, I feel like this is all hanging on that guy saying a single line of dialogue. So yeah. We just don't get judges around here that much. What's that much? You know? Like,
right.
I mean, he's not saying that judges never come here.
Yeah, that's true. It just seems like a lot of crimes happening.
Oh yeah.
In this one building. But I think the implication is just that the city's a cesspool and, you know, we're not supposed to think about it this much, and there is room for interpretation for sure.
Yeah.
It's just it's one of those dystopian. This is why the movie works though, is that as we did the review of Judge Dredd, mm-hmm. And we found it a lot easier to ask these questions because they were bringing up more and more stuff. They put him on trial at one point in the Stallone
right,
one.
Which
and
doesn't
like,
make any
Wait,
sense.
What? Yeah. So this movie keeps it nice and simple, and they do very little. They don't. It's this great combination of they're not trying to explain the world, but
no,
they're
not any more than they absolutely have to.
But yeah, but they are building the world in little ways that you don't question it. The thing that I thought of is in the first opening scene where Dredd chases the bad guys into the shopping center,
mm-hmm.
And he does the hot shot thing, which is delightful.
I said hot shot.
Yeah. It's so good.
Why do you have that bullet? What's the functional purpose of that bullet?
I think we know it's to be awesome.
To
but,
be
yeah.
fucking sweet.
It's weird in that, well, especially in that scene, because the guy's holding a woman hostage. He's like, you, I got all the cards. You ain't got the cards. And then he's like, I'm going to burn your head. And it's like, well, you could have just
I'm
going to
burn your skull inside out.
As if that somehow helps the situation with
right,
the hostage.
It wasn't like an edge or like an unexpected tactic. He just shoots him directly in the face with a special kind of bullet.
It's like, well, you could have done that with any bullet.
You just could have done that with a regular bullet. You just wanted to burn his skull inside out.
That's it. He was like, I haven't used these today.
Yeah, right. And I got to go through all of these or else they make me give them back at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. It does seem like a lot of the gun options are just them like, let's give them a little treat. Let's spice up their day by giving them a bunch of different cool ways to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
The detail that I thought was really good, though, and I didn't think much of it, but it says a lot because it's quick and it's easy, is that mm-hmm. after that's all over, the shopping center announces that they'll be reopening in 30 minutes. And then they just cut to a guy in a shitty like floor cleaner cleaning up the blood around the corpses, and it shows immediately that this is a world where they don't need the crime scene. It's over. It's resolved.
Yeah, no, there's no investigation beyond.
No, they're like just clean it up and we're done.
Throw him in the garbage.
Right, and then the idea that violence happens so often that they're just like no need to hurt business, and like in the car chase. It seems almost like it could be considered a hole, but it's not a plot hole. The other cars in the car chase don't seem to care that much. And they're establishing a world where just like crime is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why then when you get to the stuff with peach trees and not much cops, it's like, okay, the city's a cesspool. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to think about it that much.
No, and you could interpret it as like, well, that like Dredd just happened to pick that call. They probably get, you know, 100 murders an hour in this place, and they can only go to like one of them.
I think that's the idea is that there's so much crime that that building is not unusual.
No.
And it's just, he says like, well, you got to judge now, where it's just like, now like this place is shit. And yeah, nobody comes, but you know what? We're here now just by random chance.
Sure. And it's fine. Like it doesn't, it's not a plot hole or anything. It's just like, all right, this is the screenplay. We should point out is written by Alex Garland.
Yes. Another big part of this, I think, is the director hasn't really done much. I don't even remember his name.
Pete Travis. Sounds like a made up dude.
Yeah. A big credit to Anthony Dodd Mantle, who is the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
He's done, let me click on his name. By the way, Dodd, D-O-D, is that like a left thing? Am I fucking that up? Oh yeah, he did Slumdog Millionaire, Antichrist, 127 Hours, The Last King of Scotland, the second Trainspotting.
So he's legit.
He's legit. And I think it's the combination of Alex Garland as a writer-producer and this cinematographer that I think is what really makes really, this movie as awesome as it is.
It's what really puts it over the top.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's very well shot. The action is well done. But that's the funny thing. The action is not that well done. It's not The Raid, you know?
No, it's not. It gets compared a lot to The Raid just because it's the same basic premise of, okay, we're trapped in this building and we have to work our way to the top.
Right, but
but it's not. It's just them shooting a bunch of people, really.
I would argue that this is a weird thing, but the action is more on par with the original Stallone, Judge Dredd, with the 90s action style where it's a beefy dude just shooting people. What makes this good is that it's like the commando style gore where it's like people's faces are exploding.
Yeah.
It's not particularly well choreographed, you know?
No, but it's not bad. It's just
it's not
a
bad
lot
at all.
Of it's just a lot of shooting and explosions and shit. It's a more like throwback. It's more throwback style of action than like The Raid. It's not,
or John Wick.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not tightly choreographed like John Wick. It's just let's blow people away in gory piles of goo.
It's actually pretty fucking cheesy. Like, I was watching, the bad guys will just, it's that thing, that classic thing where the bad guys just run out like with the guns like not even pointed and then just get blown away like a video game. It's very 90s style, and I think that's part of the charm of it is they don't care about that. It's the brutality of the action that makes it memorable.
Exactly. And I wouldn't even call, like you said, it's a beefy dude blowing people away. Carl Urban's not, I mean.
No, yeah.
He's like a realistic sized person.
Yeah, they compared him during the production. They were saying that they wanted more like a boxer, you know? Like,
yeah,
not
that makes
like
sense.
Yeah, like a fast, swole dude and not like,
right, he's not a
monolith.
Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is, emotionally, he's a Hulk.
His frown. Oh my god.
It's so fucking silly. I wanted the part the part where he shoots the guy with the incendiary with the hot shot and burns his face, and he just stands there in front of the hostage. I wanted the hostage to be like, what the fuck are you doing? what is this?
What the hell is wrong with you?
Are you okay? Because he just frowns at her for like 30 seconds until she
sure
says something. Oh, it's so good.
There's a lot of detail about this movie that I love that his expression never changes. I love that he never takes his helmet off.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of little details. I like that, like, Mama has, like, shitty teeth. Like, that's one of those weird little things that movies don't do. I also, because Dredd was what he is, they made a very smart decision, something that the original Judge Dredd also tried to do, which is they had an outside perspective watching and serving as the emotional arc. Judge Dredd, it was Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
And that was a problem.
That was a huge, huge error in judgment.
But in this one, they give us the rookie character so that we can have things explained to us, and they don't use that privilege to world build. They just explain what's going on, which I appreciated. They're like, this is slow-mo. This is what it does. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not like, you know, this is how the city works. And this is, you know, they add the exposition pretty naturally.
Right. And it's, we're leaning on Anderson's perspective, looking in on judges and how that works.
Right.
Because she's trying to be a judge, but like, she's not black and white like Dredd is.
Right. Well, I would say neither is Dredd.
Because not really, no.
That's the great ending of the movie, because the idea is... Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, it kind of, like, he's presented as such, and he presents himself as such, but there's a couple of moments in the movie where, yeah, you're exactly right, where it's like he does sort of admit to shades of gray.
Yeah, he's like, worn down by the job. Mm-hmm. But he knows what goes into... That's what's cool about it. He knows what goes into a good judge, and he knows that it's not necessarily him. Because because that's the thing, is he's very strict. But he's also... when they go by the homeless guy, and he says, like, yeah, he's not a high priority, that's his way of basically saying, like, yeah, sometimes you can be lenient. You're the judge. You're the judge on things. And I think the moment that the rookie passes, because early on they show, like, she has to execute a guy, and Dredd is just like, what are you doing? Execute him. And she clearly doesn't want to, and then she does it. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, they do a good job at, like, the bad guys are bad, but the judges aren't good either. And they make that way more clear.
Like, it's super not clear in 95 Judge Dredd.
Yeah, the one, I would say the one thing, this is like a theme of our podcast, the one thing I would say, like, maybe they could have changed that, is I think he should have shot the kids.
That would have been amazing if he did.
Well, because what happens is the kids are pointing guns at him, and he's like, you can be in a body bag or a juvie ISO cell. He says something stupid.
Right. It's all featured out.
Yeah. And he's like, doesn't make a difference to me. And like, you think he's telling the truth. And then when the kids start shooting and they're shitty at it, he switches to stun and stuns them. And that felt like a production note where they're like, you can't kill kids. But it's sort of the point, is like, no, he'll kill kids.
Yeah, I think that was, that might have been like a production note, or just like we can't have him just shoot these kids and then still be on his side. But it's, maybe that is sort of the point of this character and this world.
Right, but it is a weird line to walk in terms of entertainment, because if you don't like anybody in the movie, it's hard to watch it.
Precisely, yeah.
And that's the issue with Judge Dredd as a character in general, I think, is we are supposed to root for him, but he's a fascist.
In a way, I think that's why you have characters like Anderson, because it's like, I don't think you could just follow Dredd, because he is so... The idea of the character, anyway, is that he's completely uncompromising. Like, he's flexible in this movie because we're supposed to like him.
And like, the end, I think the end idea watching this movie is we hope that the world will change, that the fascism will stop. And what they do is they give us a good beginning of that. Mm-hmm. Which is basically what happens is Anderson, the rookie, lets a guy go.
Yeah, Donald
because
Leeson.
Because they use this as a, it's like a character device. It doesn't, I realized it doesn't inform the plot that much, but she's a mutant and she has psychic abilities.
Yes.
Which feels very weird. On paper, it seems very weird, but in the movie, you don't really mind it. Like, I never minded it.
No, and it's like cool in the movie. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's world building, but they don't spend a lot of time on it. They're just sort of like, yeah, she's a mutant. She's psychic.
Right. They also don't use it to make convenient plot developments. They use it for the character developments, which I think is more forgiving. For example, the part where she's talking, like, yeah, she gets information out of people here and there, Mm-hmm. But like, there's a part where they need the code from this guy who's been abused by Mama, who's her hacker. And he's like, I'll give you the codes. And like, they could just have him give her the codes. But she's like, no, I'll get them out of you. And then she sees that he's been like horribly abused and basically held hostage. And then she lets him go.
Yeah.
And that's I think. And then when Dredd is like, you should have let him go. You shouldn't have let him go. That's a violation. That's when she's like, you know what? I'm a fucking judge and I can make the call however I want. And he's innocent and I'm letting him go. And that's when I feel like Dredd's like, oh, she gets it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, we need more judges like her, because the idea is the judge is, it's fascist, but they're like using their judgment and he's just seeing if she's has sound judgment and she believes in what she's, you know,
yeah,
doing. And it's also planting the seed of like, yeah, maybe there'll be change in the future. So it creates this like positive ending. Mm-hmm. That way, even though they're still all fascists and nothing has changed.
Yeah, they're still fascist executioners.
Mm-hmm. But it's a great way of doing it. Doing what they try to do in the Stallone one.
They don't even really try to do it.
No, they don't. By the end of the Stallone one, it's like, hey, maybe don't blow up cars, buddy. And he's like, yeah, you're right, Rob
Schneider.
They
have a parade for fascism at the end of the Stallone one.
Yeah, they do.
And they ask him to be king of the fascist judges.
That's true. Top king fascist. Oh, good on him. I like when they send in, so there's the corrupt judges. I like how
yeah, I liked this element, sending in the corrupt judges.
Yeah, I liked how bad one of the judges were at lying, where he goes in and he's like asking Dredd questions, and Dredd doesn't really catch him in a lie. He's just like, why are you only asking about me and not the other judge? Mm-hmm. And like, the bad judge could say, oh right, no sorry, it was a slip, or like, oh yeah, right, there's two of you. Like, it's not a damning thing, but instead he just panics and starts screaming on
he screams into his radio, and then Dredd kills him immediately.
Just hits him in the throat. He kills him immediately, but he doesn't die immediately, mind
no,
you.
No, he sure doesn't.
No.
He, like, crushes his throat.
Yeah. That is one corrupt judge who is bad at improv.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, I mean, you're not required to take improv 101 when you become a judge, so.
That's fair. I just love how quickly he panicked.
Right, like he had nothing. He couldn't think of anything.
No, not a single thing. Oh, what a fun fucking movie this is.
Yeah, it's delightful. And I like that the other, like the leader of the evil judges, is doing like a version of Dredd's frown, only it's like this kind of sardonic smile. So it's right. Like, it communicates a lot about his character.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's been ground down to the point where he just thinks this is all bullshit.
Right, which is, again, it plays into where Dredd is as a character, which is, it's so good because Dredd is, he's a statue. He just sits there and frowns. But they're able to give us so much about his character by his basic actions and the people around him, where we see the whole spectrum. We see the idealistic rookie who's like, doesn't want to just enforce the rules. We see Dredd, who still has a little bit of humanity in him.
A tiny bit.
But not much.
And enough then we to see not blow those kids away.
Yeah, and then we see the end result. The judges, who are clearly like the result of this society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The product of this. And so you see that Dredd's, his passing her at the end is like, oh, it's a little glimmer of hope for this character.
Like, he still believes in something.
Yeah.
Like in the scene where the lead evil judge is hunting him in like the meth lab or whatever, he's giving that speech about how it's just a meat grinder.
Yeah.
So like he thinks it's all bullshit and he's like just trying to get some money out of it and just, you know, get whatever he can out of his by abusing his position. But Dredd, even though he's like this like unreadable statue and he's very cruel, well, not cruel, but he's very harsh,
right,
it's still in service of a belief. Like he's not harsh to be cruel like this other judge is.
No, he's trying to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his best, but he's part of a terrible, terrible system.
Oh yeah. This is a terrible idea. And, oh shit.
it does a really good job at covering all of that while giving us just a sliver of the world and not pushing it, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't world build any more than we need. It reminds me a lot of the first Star Wars in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
It's obviously the first Star Wars is more expansive in its scope, but it's still like kind of just tossing you into these characters that are just, we're not explained anything. We're just seeing how people live and exist in this universe.
That actually,
and that informs that tells us everything we need to know about to understand what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, that actually brings me to a question: mm-hmm. Do you think they should ever make a sequel to this?
I'd love it if they did.
I'm afraid of it because I think part of what makes this great is what we're saying. The moment they start expanding it, what becomes the premise? The premise would have to be he either goes on another adventure,
mm-hmm.
and he clearly, what arc is he going to have? They either have to expand the arc and start making him like fight back against the system, and then that becomes a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing where I feel like the logical sequence of events mm-hmm. aren't interesting from here on. It sort of will get muddled. Like obviously I'd love to see another version of this movie because it's great. I'm just worried about where they could go with it.
I know the comic goes into some nuts places. Like they have the dark judges, which are like supernatural and like, it takes some wild turns.
Okay. If it's Judge Dredd versus a haunted house, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, this Judge Death is one of them.
Yeah. All right. That is a good direction for them to go in.
Yeah.
And not exploring the society as much, even though that is,
we don't need to. It's just there as the backdrop and like right. to inform some of the arcs.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking about the Terminator films because I was trying to think about what other films needs this type of reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Terminator films do. I think doing a small scale Terminator film where it's just like one T-800 again, and it's more in the brutality and the action and just a very simple chase plot without introducing too much mythology or thinking about Judgment Day. They don't even have to have the same characters. I think that would help the franchise a lot. There's certain franchises I think this would really benefit from.
Alien, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Just like in general, it's a thing we've talked about before here and in other places, I think. But like in general, like any sequel that tries to expand upon the mythology of the universe, it's kind of always bad, isn't it?
Yes and no. I think it's always bad if the original movie wasn't meant to do that. Like, I would argue the Marvel films are doing a good job at that. Because
yeah, but they were all sort of designed to do that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that if there is a mythology, because the Marvel films was all about giving us a small piece
mm-hmm.
of this world, slowly expanding it until you were ready to accept that there's space raccoons. And it worked because of that reason, because they're slowly easing us in.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like an Alien where they're like, well, but where did they come from? And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. Why would we care? Or the Predators, like, it's just...
Yeah, I think a good way to do Dread sequels would be to treat it like Mad Max. You know what I mean? Which is, it is sort of... Mad Max movies are just sort of, here's Max's next adventure.
Right.
And we just see different areas of the world. Like, okay, this is kind of a different, like, section of this world, you know?
Yeah, where it's the problem is always there. Like fascism is like the need for the water in Mad Max, where it's like, this is just a thing
mm-hmm.
that we have to deal with.
Like, maybe... you could see a rich neighborhood in the next Dread movie.
Ooh, that would be great. Yeah, for sure. If it's like a corrupt, like white collar criminal,
mm-hmm.
In one of them rich towers.
Yeah, that or just, would be... just seeing, yeah, any aspect of that.
Yeah. And I could see a little of them going after a fellow judge, like corrupt judges or something like that. More that
yeah.
Route without becoming the Judge Dredd.
Without becoming 95's Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that. I sort of liked keeping it at the level that they kept it in Dredd, where it's like you can infer that whole world just by looking at that character. Like I said, just by the way that character smiles. Like you can... Oh, yeah. That's everything I need to know about how judges become corrupt and how this guy became corrupt.
I think Mad Max is a really good example because that's another one where they don't spend forever. They have an opening intro that's like, yeah, nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
We destroyed the world. And it's still sort of about that. But it's mostly also just like, and here's a single car chase.
Yep.
Here's
Max's next adventure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then they focus... It's the thing where like they're not focusing on we need to build the mythology and build what's happening in this world and look at this cool thing and this cool thing. Instead they're like, well, why don't we build the characters?
Exactly.
Yeah. And like you by the end you have a clear idea of who these people are through like little pieces here and there.
Yeah, that's always a better way to do it, in my opinion. It's just...
Oh, for sure.
Like I said with the first Star Wars, it's just you learn about the world by seeing these people exist in it.
Right, and you follow very few people. You're not skipping around. You know, like, by the Star Wars prequels, you're just, like, skipping through light years. Like,
yeah,
just like, and meanwhile, on this planet, and it's like, Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'm just watching, like, a video game cutscene now.
Yeah, just follow the main characters through their adventure in this world.
And I think Mad Max is a similar character to Judge Dredd in that it's more about the people around him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He's not the protagonist. He's sort of the protagonist.
He kind
of... But not... I would say the rookie is more of the protagonist in this. Although...
In this movie, I think so.
It's hard to say because she also is kind of an antagonist of Dredd in terms of how she's... Her philosophies are clashing with his, and you could argue he's sort of his character arc is informed by her.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a good film with psychics in it. It didn't the mutant stuff. I thought of Looper, where Looper the mutant stuff felt real shoehorned in.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, because they. It was weird because ultimately the reason it's in the movie for Looper is to make the kid at the end more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't really have to do that.
No.
I think you could have thought of a different way. It's a hell of a narrative reason to add in psychic abilities because it's really like, it's a big ask. Where they're like, it's the future and everything's gritty and kind of the same. Like, it's not like that distant future and we have time travel, but it's kind of weird. Also, people are psychics anyway. And it's just like, wait, what? How did that happen? And this, like, it could have had that. And maybe for some people it did, but
I don't think so.
I think it was fine.
Yeah. It's like the psychic stuff feeds into her character because she's an empath. She's empathetic.
Right. Well, she can also go into people's mind palaces and fuck them up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mind palace fights in this. There's more palace fights than you would expect.
Yes. More than you may have anticipated with Antoine Barksdale.
Yes.
From The Wire.
Yeah. Who's great in this?
Yeah, he is. He's great. He's great in everything.
Yeah. He pisses himself.
Yeah, he does.
She mind fucks him so hard that he pisses himself.
Pees himself up.
Yeah, I like that stuff with her. It was weird. Again, it's I guess an inconsistency, but not really. It feels like she could. I guess it takes a toll on her. It feels like she could blow her way through a lot of like she gets kidnapped, and that was the only part where I was like, oh come on, like she doesn't seem like the type. Like she can take him on. Can't she fucking? Like mind attack him,
yeah,
and like take him out, but it's like
mind cripple him.
Yeah, because at that point they'd established that she's just like really good at that. They have to like sort of nerf her powers here and there, I think.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Right. But I didn't mind because the powers weren't there for plot conveniences. They were just there for like, and here's an extra flavoring of psychic lady.
Yeah.
And like little things were like there when they're first, when they got, when Dredd's looking at her through the two-way mirror.
Right. And she's about to, they hint that she's about to reveal that he's a clone.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, like there's something off about him.
Right. And that was, it was a good little detail. It's a good way of like revealing a little bit about his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was hoping she'd just be like, and there's a second person and he seems good. And beyond that, duck fetish. Duck fetish. Oh, God. Oh, God. What is that? What even is that? Like, I want
Armand DeSantis in there.
He should have been in this film.
He's a clone of Armand DeSantis.
They should have got him back. They should. You know what? I would have been fine if at the end, when like the cops are showing up, the other judges, and they're like, "How'd she do?" If one of them was Rob Schneider. Like, don't give him too many lines.
But just like, sneak him in there.
Just sneak Rob Schneider in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or like halfway through, he just bumbles into a team, like into a scene, just like, I'm your new partner. And then they just completely fuck the movie up just for fun.
Yeah. He just falls over immediately for no reason and starts rolling around on his back like a turtle and wailing for Dredd. Dredd!
Why did you do that?
You can't help yourself, man. You're a grown man.
You can't get up, Rob Schneider. What's wrong with you?
You can't stand up.
You deserve to be incinerated.
Yeah. He owes you nothing.
That's who he should have played, is the guy who gets the hot shot in the face. That would have been amazing.
That would have explained the whole thing. We wouldn't have ever questioned why he would use hotshot on that guy.
No.
Like, I would have shot Rob Schneider in the face with the flaming round for sure. Yeah.
What other bullets does he have? He has incendiaries, which send out these like flares that burns a bunch of people.
Armor piercing.
Is that the only ones they explore?
I think so.
I would love to know how those guns work, because he runs out of bullets and then he has to like take the bullets from the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all just the same clips that he's just like, he's putting in there. And it's like, what's going on in that gun?
I don't know. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is pretty sweet. I can only imagine that the bullets are standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gun can program the bullets to react different ways, which the only one that's tricky there is armor piercing. Because like hot shot and incendiary, you can imply that like, oh, the bullets are like lit on fire as they go out in a certain way, like there's something that is triggered in the bullets. But shouldn't all the bullets just be armor piercing?
Like, that should be the default for sure.
Yeah. Or like, does it have a separate cache of armor piercing bullets? Is the idea that the clips that he puts in has like four different types of bullets in there? Because that would be,
it looks like there's high explosive and grenade.
Ooh. It would be frustrating if, like when you're playing a video game and you only have, like, shotgun bullets, but you need other bullets. Like, it feels like once he gets down to incendiaries, because incendiaries didn't look like they're that useful. Like, you can't really have a gunfight with incendiaries. Like, they're slow and they're not good for close. It would be frustrating to be a judge and have only, like, the shitty bullets left. Like, the weird ones. Do you think there's a confetti bullet?
Just a noisemaker bullet you shoot. It goes like, whee!
For like dealing with like animals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they probably shoot the animals.
Oh yeah, why on earth would they not?
Yeah, that's true. What a film.
It's a great film.
Yeah, it really is. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like if people are listening to this and they haven't watched already, if you like a good bloody kind of silly action, like the fucking, the way...
The ending?
Goddamn ending of just Dredd rolling the dice.
Yep.
Because Mama has it's great because she's trying to do this clever Bond villain thing. She's like, I have a wrist thing that's designed to it's attached to my heartbeat, and if my heart stops, the building would explode. Yeah. And so Dredd just throws her out a window.
Yeah, he's like, I'm willing to bet the distance of the range of that transmitter's longer than the is shorter than the fall I'm about to send you on. So
right, yeah, and it's like, I guess, yeah, if you're willing to bet that, there's no evidence showing that.
He just throws her out the window. My favorite, it's a really gorgeous sequence.
Oh, for
when
sure.
She gets thrown out the window. And after she hits the ground and dies, it cuts back up to Dredd, and he says, yeah.
Which, in the fucking script, like, that must have been so silly. And it's really how he performs it is perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's him. It's not him saying like, yeah, it's him answering his question.
His question. Will this work? Because he waits for a second. He's like, am I going to blow up? Doesn't look like it.
Looks like and I was right then.
It works for his character, because I was thinking about the scene rewatching it. And I was like, do they ever say like, oh, there's a range on this? Do they ever sweatily shoehorn that in? Mm-mm. And they don't, because they don't need to, because Judge Dredd as a character is nihilistic enough to just be like, you know, I bet that thing doesn't have a good range on it. Mm-hmm. I will test this hypothesis by hucking you out this window. And that's really all you need. It's not like, oh, that's dumb. It's like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what he would do.
Yep. Fuck it.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the slow-mo stuff. They do the, because at the beginning, she basically does the same thing to her underlings with the slow-mo.
Yeah.
Which again, the slow-mo, it doesn't need to be there. Like, it's just, she's a drug dealer, but mm-hmm. they chose to do something very creative with it and then tie it into the plot of the idea being, because he gives her the slow-mo and it's implied like that will help with the heartbeat maybe, or like, I don't know what.
It makes it seem like it's lasting a long time.
Yeah. Either way, it's like, yeah, it happens to her what she did to them at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very pretty. It's
yeah,
a very cool way of shooting things.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's not much else to say other than just, you know, this is a...
No, I'm surprised we said this much about it.
It's a wonderful film. Watch it immediately.
Yeah, it's a very solid action film. I'm sort of up in the... I'm still debating whether or not I'd want sequels, but you've given me, like... a good case for there should be sequels.
Yeah. There's a couple of things you could do that would be cool. And if you just kept it like Mad Max, where it's just focusing mm-hmm. on a cluster of characters rather than blowing out the universe, then just, right. you yeah. know, send them to Richville.
Yeah. Other action films should look at this and take notice. Although I will say mm-hmm. one of my favorite actions right now that keeps expanding on mythology is John Wick.
And that's true.
And I think the reason why is the mythology is so dumb that I can't wait to hear the new mythology. Like, the movie knows it's silly. They're mm-hmm. not trying. I think that's it. They're not trying to take it seriously. And it also doesn't. It doesn't. It's not like rules. It's not like we have to go here and do this and shut this down. It's mm-hmm. like, no, here's just like weird glimpses into this world that yeah. doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh man.
Yeah. Dredd.
Fucking Dredd, baby.
Yeah.
That's a sode.
That's a sode. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Special thanks to Lef for mm-hmm. giving us Dredd.
For sure.
Yeah. If other people are interested in you know, tiers like this is a specific tier on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We also have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a tier where you can produce your own podcasts about anything you want. There's a tier where you watch movies with us every Friday. A lot of great options, so check it out.
Yeah, we also have a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts and stickers and posters and all kinds of sweet shit. So check yep. that out.
Check it all out.
Guys.
Yeah. And watch this movie.
And then watch Dredd.
Watch
Dredd.
Dredd, a movie that doesn't shoot children.
No.
No.
No, it doesn't.